We praise you and glorify your holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because you are not in the grave. Thank you because the power from on high came, rolled the stone away, and you stormed out in majesty and gave us the victory, victory that we did not deserve. But you gave us the victory purely out of your love. Thank you because you are alive, and so we are alive. We are alive not just here and now, but we are alive with you now and forevermore. We bless you, Jesus. We thank you, Ancient of Days. We glorify your holy name. Lord, as you bring your word to your people, let your word bring light. Let your word bring healing. Let your word revive heart. Let it re-empower souls. Let the good news of the gospel touch every soul that is under the sound of her voice this afternoon. For those of us who are here and those who are joining online, we say, let the word touch you beyond measure this moment. To your glory and your glory alone, the Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Very good to have everyone around. You see, during sometime last week, I read a story. The story was just a very short story. It was about a Sunday school teacher, right? A Sunday school teacher that was teaching, second, third graders, right? And the Sunday school teacher was, giving them a picture of Jesus and got to how Jesus died, how he died on the cross, how he was put in the grave, how the soldiers were kept by the side, to basically keep a guide. And the teacher wanted to give them an excitement of the resurrection, right? How the stone was rolled away and Jesus burst out of the grave. And then he asked the little kids and said, could you tell me what was the first word that Jesus spoke when he came out of the grave? So have you ever thought of that before? The first word that Jesus spoke when he came out of the grave. So, and then the usual thing when you're teaching little kids, when he asked the question, tell me the first word, just guess. And everybody was like, hey, me, me, me. And then one little girl at the back raising her hand, and the teacher said, okay, you. And then she raised her two hands and said, ta-da! It sounds funny, right? That Jesus came out from the grave and said, ta-da! But actually, it's not just funny. Because, the soldiers were waiting. When the Jews condemned him to death, they thought it was all over. When the Roman soldiers nailed him on the cross, they believed that it is finished. Now, when he was sealed in that grave, death thought that, I have won. But Jesus came coming out of the grave and said to them, ta-da, I'm alive. So as funny as it is a reality, and that is what we celebrate, not just today, but every day of our life, amen? Amen. You see, the thing is this, I have never heard of anyone who said that Jesus was a bad person. I never heard of that. I've never read of it. Be it atheists, Muslims, Buddhists, they may not be bold to say that he was a good person, but I've never heard anyone say that he was a bad guy. But the reality here is that Jesus is not about being the good guy or the moral guy. No, that is not what Jesus is all about. It was his birth, his death, his resurrection, and ascension. That is what Jesus is all about. And that is what Christianity is all about. So it's not about whether he was good or bad. Now, Christianity is not about our great father Abraham. It's not about Moses. It's not about the prophets of old. These ones basically came in to give us a little glimpse of the greater one to come. They came to prophesy of the greater one to come. So it is all about Jesus. That is what Christianity is all about. And it's all about the finished work on the cross of Calvary. Can I help? Thank you. So today, we're going to speak on the word. What does Easter mean to you? So, and when we're speaking, try to personalize it. You have heard a lot of messages of Easter, but try to find what you think Easter means to you and what exactly does Easter mean in general. Because Easter could mean so many things to so many people. It means that Jesus is alive. It means that he defeated death. It means that we who believe and trust in him, not only do we live here now, but we have eternal life. So it means that in Easter, we celebrate the eternal life we are going to have in the next life to come. Amen. You see, Easter could mean so many things, but it is too big a miracle to mean just one thing. So it was the greatest day in history of mankind, and it could mean so many. It was a massive miracle. So today, what we are going to do is just to share three of the so many things that Easter could mean to us. And when we share it, try to see where you connect to these three things. It doesn't mean these are the all, but those are the three that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us today. So, and this is all about what happened between Good Friday and on the Easter morning. Amen? Are you with me?
Yes.
So, the first thing about Easter is the cross. So what is the cross? If you look out there, you see a cross. You see, crosses are everywhere. They come in different sizes, in different shapes. They come in physical, and now we can even see that they also come in digital form. Crosses, we see them, you know, on church buildings. We see people hang them in their cars. Some people use them to make jewelries. I have one. We also see that some people even make tattoo of cross on their bodies. And sometimes you see that some people make sign of the cross, like athletes, maybe when they want to start an event or when they want to end it. Even when you go to the cemeteries, we see crosses everywhere, including on the grave of those who do not even believe. So what is it about this cross? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So the cross represents the wisdom and power of God. You know, I've heard people, and I believe you may have also heard people say that all the religion, they are all the same. It is just different routes to the same God. But that is not true. Christianity is not one of the many routes to God. Because Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you take away this cross from Christianity, our life becomes just like that of any man or any woman. Our life becomes based purely on morality. If you take away the cross out of Christianity, our gathering here becomes nothing than a social club, social gathering. It becomes just like every other religion. Easter, the cross. This cross, it is a very simple structure, the physical form of it. Yet it is powerful. And that is what the Bible tells us, that it is the wisdom and power of God. We already know that it was on this cross that the wall between us and God was removed, and then a bridge was built upon this cross. It was on the cross that the power of sin was destroyed, because all our sins were nailed on it. The cross is what brings peace to our soul and revives our spirit. On this cross, Jesus became what we were so that we could become what he is. And what were we? We were sinners. We were rejected. We were dejected. We were nobody. We were those of the outcast. That is what we were. But on the cross, we became what Jesus was. And who is he? He is victorious. Amen. He is loved. He is glorious. So we became glorious on the cross, and that is what we celebrate at Easter. It was on the cross that the church of God was born. You know, sometimes we tend to think that the church was born in Antioch. No. Or maybe in the upper room. No. It was not. Those were the times that the manifestation of the church took place. The church was born on the cross. In the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 2, when you read from 18 to around 22, when God wanted to make the bride of Adam, the first Adam, that is Eve, what did God do? He made Adam to fall into deep sleep. And God opened his side and made the bride of Adam. And when you look at verse 18 of that chapter 2, God calls him the helper. The same way when Jesus was asleep on the cross, the soldiers pierced his side. Water and blood came out, and the church was born. Remember, the church is called co-workers with Christ, just like Eve was called the helper. So the church was born on the cross. And why was the church born? The church was born to bring healing to a very sick world. The church was born to become the light of a dark world. The church was born to become the salt of a thirstless world. And the church was born to bring this message of the cross to an ignorant world. This is not theology. This is not religion. This is Christianity. This is what we preach. We preach Christ crucified. Amen? Amen? Does the cross represent all these things I mentioned to you? That is Easter. Easter represents a time that the church of God was born. You and I became the church because we became who he is, so that we can be co-workers with him to go out and share the message of that cross to a world that is ignorant, to a world that believes that the cross is foolishness. But to us, it is the power and wisdom of God. Amen? Amen. The stone. Another thing that Easter could mean to us. Who will roll away the stone? If you have your Bible, you can open with me. The book of Mark. Mark chapter 16. We read just 1 to 4. He said, "Now, when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, they bought spices, that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the tomb, from the door of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. These women with Jesus, they were heading to the tomb to go and do or to go and anoint the body of the Savior. But there was one question that was in their mind. Who will roll away the stone? Remember that there were soldiers that were guiding the area where Jesus was laid. So these women did not even think about the soldiers. They did not think about being arrested. They did not even think about the men, Peter and the other disciples, who should have been men to come out and help them roll away the stone. All they wanted was to go and anoint the body of the one who loved them. And the question was going on in their head, who will roll away the stone? When you read the account of all the Gospels from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all of them have the same story about how big the stone was. So the stone being rolled away from the tomb of Jesus Christ tells us something again about Easter. It tells us how God rolls away every obstacle in our lives that could prevent us from coming to him. The stone being rolled away. What are those things that tend to stop us from coming to him? Those obstacles. Today, I invite you, as you sit here listening to me or as you watching from online, think about those stones in your life that tend to prevent you from living that life that Christ has already made for you. That abundant life. Think of those challenges that you face every day that tend to paralyze you with fear. It's not just the life to come, but even life here and now. Is it a habitual sin, a bad habit? Is your stone a sickness preventing you from living the life that God has designed for you? Is it fear? Is it pain? What are those stones that has kept you in your grave? If you're facing rejection, are you facing depression? Even financial difficulties. This could be the stones that may be holding you back from living the life that God has designed for you from the beginning of ages. Because he said in his word, he said, I know the thought I have for you. It is all about thought of good and not of evil. But sometimes the stones tend to hold us back in our tombs. So think about them. All of us, or each and every one of us, may have one that is holding us back. This is one of the meanings of Easter. How God rolls away the stones that tend to hinder us from coming to him. But because of the risen Christ, because of that power that came from above and rolled away the stone, I decree unto you this morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, every stone that is holding you back, every barrier, every barricade, whatever it is that is preventing you from moving into that life that Christ has called you to, I decree in the name of Jesus that such stones be rolled away this hour in Jesus' name. Amen. The word of God says, he said, if that spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is on you, that spirit will quicken your mortal bodies, will give you a new life. And I pray this moment that that spirit that rolled away the stone, that spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that is upon you this moment, take away every stone that is hindering you, however big, however small, however mighty those stones might be. I decree and I pray that they be rolled away right now in Jesus' name. Amen. His word says that whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. We are free because the stone is rolled away. That is also the meaning of Easter. And the question you ask yourself, why the women were going thinking of who will roll away the stone? You ask, where were the men? Where were the disciples? Peter and the rest. You see, there's one unique quality that women have. Once an idea comes into their head, they step out into it. But you know, women, we start from risk assessment. We begin to make analysis. We begin to do all the what-if analysis. You know, maybe the men sometimes, they could be somewhere thinking, what if we get there and the soldiers confront us? What do we tell them? What if we are arrested? So it's typical of men. In this world, that is okay. But with God, no. The women did not do any of those risk assessments. They stepped out in faith. And that, again, tells us something about Easter. The men were locked up in the upper room because of fear. But the women stepped out in faith. They were not afraid of being arrested. They were not afraid of who is going to roll away the stone. But they stepped out in faith. And that tells us something about Easter. Sometimes we tend to lock ourselves in our grave, in our tomb. But today I pray for you, and I pray for myself, that the grace that those women had to step out in faith, to go out there without being afraid of anyone, without thinking of who will roll away the stone, may we receive that faith this morning in Jesus' name. And the men were locked up there until Jesus came to liberate them. Do not wait. Trust God. Sometime, I think it was last Monday, I attended one of our life groups. And the moderator, God used him to bring up a very nice topic that he shared with us. It was all about trusting God. And it was so refreshing to hear brothers talk about some of the instances where they were in difficulties, but they stepped out in faith, trusting God of what he could do, and how God miraculously did something wonderful for them. So refreshing. Do not get yourself locked up in the tomb. The power is there to roll away the stone, and all we need is to step out in faith, just like the women. And that reminds us and tells us something very important about Easter. Don't hold back, because the power is there. God is able to do above all what we ask or think or imagine, because the work is finished on the cross. The tomb was empty, and so we are also going to step out in that boldness, and those things holding us back will be released completely and will be free unto a new life. Amen? Amen? And this brings me to the last point for today, the last point of what we think about Easter, what it means to us. The message of Easter is all about new life. It's all about the resurrection. You remember all the processes that Jesus went through before he went onto the cross. And then he was put into the tomb. But on that third day, the third day of being in the grave, he tore through the bars. The chains were broken. The heavens raised its voice. There was earthquake upon the earth. And in the places where he was laid, the stone was rolled away. Death was put to shame. And the King of Glory himself, he came out. Not just coming out, but like the Sunday school teacher I mentioned, he burst out in power. And it was declared that he was alive. He was alive, and we are also alive. And that is the message of Easter. We were buried with him. We rose with him. As he is alive, we are also alive. You see, it is also only in Christianity that we hear, know of a spiritual leader who was dead and raised up again. Muhammad is still in the grave. Buddha is still in the grave. Even John Smith, he's also still in the grave. The same with Confucius. But we have the one who died and rose again. And it makes sense that if we want to have, live that fullness of life here and in, for eternity, it makes sense that we follow that one who was alive and is still alive and will remain alive forever. The resurrection, that new life, is the center of our faith. Because of Easter, we who we are dead, we are made alive. If you take away the resurrection, there is no Christianity. There is no hope. Without that new life in Christ, all our faith will hinge on nothing. We celebrate the birth of Jesus, which is a very fantastic thing. But his birth could have meant nothing if he did not rise again. We know about all the miracles that Jesus performed. So many of them, countless of them. If time permitted him to be born, sometimes I try to imagine, why did Jesus spend only 33 years? I mean, 33, I don't want to say my age. But imagine, and he didn't even start his ministry until he was 30, his ministry here on earth. So think of all the miracles he did within the space of just 3 years. And then you try to imagine, why didn't he stay to do even more? He could have healed a lot more people. He could have traveled far more. And if you look at it this way, you think, Jesus did not even go too far away. It was just within that small enclave, not even the whole Middle East. So he could have stayed a bit longer and traveled a bit farther because there were poor people while he was on earth. There were still sick people in Jerusalem, in Jericho, in Jordan, everywhere. He couldn't have spent time to heal them. They were orphans during the time of Jesus. There were so many bad things happening during his time. And being a God, he could have made a pronouncement and some of these evils that were in the world then could have completely gone away. Maybe if he had done it those things by then, maybe we couldn't have been having all the wars and warrings we have today. So why did Jesus not spend a bit longer to solve all of these problems? No, he did not. Because that was not his main mission. That was not his main goal. Yes, he died on the cross. But our Christianity could have meant nothing if only he died on the cross. The cross wouldn't even have a meaning if there was no resurrection. And that is what makes the difference. The new life that not only did he have, but the new life that he gave to us. Stan, can you come up? That new life in him that he gave us on that resurrection morning, that is what makes all the difference. That was the purpose, the main goal, the main reason he came. Yes, he healed so many sick. Yes, he performed so many miracles. He did so many fantastic things. He had a lot of fantastic teachings. They were all a little glimpse of the main reason why he came. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2:20, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus Christ did not only die for us. He died as us. His death on the cross was actually our death. When he died on that cross, it is we that actually died, we who believe. When that stone was rolled away from his grave, that is also how God rolled away all the obstacles that has hindered us from knowing him, which was our sin. When Christ rose from the grave, we who believe also rose with him. As he became alive, and as he died, we became dead with him. And as he stood up from the grave, so did we also stand up from the grave. We became one with him in death. We became one with him in life. This is the meaning of Easter. Christ alive in us. That is Easter. Amen. Can we be on our feet? Easter is a time of reflection. It was the greatest day in the history of mankind. It was a period that God manifested what he promised from the very first day, that man fell. If you remember in the book of Genesis, as soon as man fell, God began to make plan on how to bring man back to himself. When man fell, the world became upside down. And God began to plan how he was going to turn the world right side up. And that is what we celebrate. That is what we rejoice in. Think of what are those things that Easter really mean to you, apart from these three that we have discussed. Or even if it's just these three, reflect on it. Key into it. He said it is finished, but it did not just end on the cross. It was all finished. It was all completed. The assignment was done. But above all, he came with a newness of life, which we inherited, not because we qualify for it, not because we deserved it. It is purely out of his mercy, out of love. He said, what greater love is it than this, that a man will die for them who do not even know him? He chose us. We did not choose him. He qualified us even when we are not qualified. No wonder Jeremiah said that before we were even formed in our mother's womb, he knew us. He justified us. He predestined us. And this is all made manifest in this season of Easter. So we were called when we were not even qualified to know him. And it's all because of Easter, because of the work he finished, because of his resurrection. Personalize it. Make it yours. And key into it. And so, mighty God, we bless you. We thank you for your grace upon the life of your people. We bless your holy name because that thing that was hidden from generations, you made them open unto your children. No wonder Peter said that we are a chosen generation. We became a royal priesthood. Those before him did not have the benefit of what you have poured upon us, a new life. A new life that you gave unto us on that very morning that you stood up and tore through the grave and burst into life. We became one with you in death and in life. What a precious gift that you have given to us. What a mighty love. Father, we are not taking this special grace for granted. We come to return all the thanks and praises to you. We come to magnify your name and say, Lord, thank you for the finished work. Thank you for the newness of life. Thank you for rolling away the stone. Thank you for giving us the grace to stand in front of you and have what it takes to call you our Abba Father. Thank you for tearing down that wall that is holding us away from you and bringing us back unto yourself just because of the work that you finished for us on this season and this day that we celebrate. Be thou glorified, Father. Is there any one of us being held back? Is there any one of us who is yet to believe, who is yet to accept? Lord, by the power from on high, may you open up such hearts, such souls this moment that they will come to embrace the work that you have finished for us and the new life you have given unto us. Thank you, faithful Father. Blessed be your holy name. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.
Tusen, tusen takk, Julius, for et fantastisk budskap om påske. Du oppmuntret? Vi skal be en bønn med deg som ikke har tatt imot Jesus som din personlige frelser og Herre. Hvis du her som ønsker å ta imot Jesus, du kom til nattverden i dag, kanskje. Hvis du ikke gjorde det, du kan bli med på denne bønnen her, og vi skal be sammen med deg det som vi kaller for frelsesbønnen. Og da, be fra ditt hjerte, og la Jesus få lov til å komme inn i ditt hjerte i dag. Det her et høydepunkt i gudstjenesten vår. Det viktigste, og noe av det som grunnen til at vi fortsatt her, invitere en til å komme til Jesus og få fred med Gud. Jesus, jeg kommer til deg. Takk for at du døde for mine synder. Jeg tar imot deg som min frelser og Herre. Fyll meg med den hellige ånd. Takk for fred med Gud i mitt hjerte. Amen. Og bad den bønnen, så har du noe nytt begynt i livet ditt, og en vandring med Jesus, så vi anbefaler deg å gjøre tre ting. Fortell det til noen som blir glad for å høre at i dag tok du imot Jesus. Finn et fellesskap, en kirke. Ingen av oss kalt til å vandre som kristne alene. Bli gjerne en del av vår kirke. Velkommen du. Og for det tredje, les i Bibelen. Bli kjent med personen Jesus. Det det viktigste. Det han som stjernen og kjernen i evangeliet. Og vi vil gjerne hilse på deg også, så ta kontakt med oss i informasjonsstanden. Hils på Julius eller med meg etter gudstjenesten. Vil vi veldig gjerne snakke med deg etterpå. Nå skal vi synge sammen. En virkelig påskesalme. For noen det ikke påske uten at man virkelig har sunget denne her. Dei være ære. Du med på det? Flott, la oss prise Herren.
Over dødens makt.
Vær så god, sitt ned et lite øyeblikk. Bare for å understreke følgende, det altså menighetsbønn I kveld klokka 8 her I kirken. Så velkommen du på bønnemøte I kveld. Og så det slik at mannsviken, det noen menn her? Ja, takk til dere tre. Hvis det flere menn her, så det altså siste muligheten til å melde seg på mannsviken I dag. Så du må være rask. Hvis du tenkte å være med. Vi faktisk, jeg tror det nærmer seg 15 stykker, som så langt drar fra Karismakirken, så du reiser ikke alene. Bli med på Mannsviken neste helg. Og så altså neste søndag blir det altså felles gudstjeneste med oss, og North Sea Baptist Church og Stavanger International Church, her, som en sånn finale på Mannsviken. Da får vi det berømte mannskoret. Drømmer dere ikke om det? Ja, det blir fantastisk. Hvert år. Kjempefint. Kaféen åpen. Har du tatt, husk på å få en pose, du som ny I kirka, med altså gavekortet I. Og så reiser vi oss opp en siste gang I formiddag. Ta imot Herrens velsignelse. Herren velsigne deg og bevare deg. Herren la sitt ansikt lyse over deg og være deg nådig. Herren løfte sitt ansikt mot deg og gi deg fred. I Jesu navn, gå I fred, tjen Herren med glede. Og tusen, tusen takk for at du kom. Vi ses.
stood.